In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord, it be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Samuel, chapter 22. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
What we know is supposed to drive how we act. That is part of being rational creatures, as the Lord God has made us. But it is even more true since the Holy Spirit has enlightened us and has informed us about our existence that is both physical and spiritual, both temporal and eternal. That enlightenment happened when we were made sons of light, when we were made members of the kingdom of God by receiving Christ's gospel. But is that knowledge motivating us to act accordingly? Even more so, is our understanding of the Lord's will moving us to act? Or are we showing ourselves to be unwise? Such questions are raised as we hear the scripture readings for this ninth Sunday after Trinity. Because in today's gospel reading, we are presented with one of the more perplexing parables that Jesus tells. We have this parable of the unrighteous manager or unrighteous steward. And in Jesus' story about this manager of a wholesale business who was about to be fired for cause. Remember, he's being fired for wasting his master's possessions. Jesus describes, though, how that man figured out a way not to be left on the streets with no hope of survival. The man thinks about his imminent plight. He says, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So what shall I do?" And then Jesus tells us this man devised a solution to secure his future. "I've decided what to do," he says, "so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." But in Jesus' story, the man's solution involves even more unjust or unrighteous actions. Remember, the unrighteous manager is being fired for wasting his master's possessions. But how does he secure a future for himself? By doing more of the same. Summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he told him 100 measures of oil. And then the steward says to him, "Well, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And then he said to another, "Well, how much do you owe?" And he says, "Well, I owe 100 measures of wheat." And so he tells him, "Well, then take your bill and write 80. And by doing this, he is undercutting his master even more on his way out the door. And he is turning the master's debtors into his own creditors, since they should repay the great favor that he was doing for them. Now, what often shocks people when they hear this from Luke's gospel is how Jesus describes the master's reaction to his former employee's actions. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." There is a shrewdness in what this dishonest and unrighteous man had done. He used his knowledge of his situation, that which he was enlightened about, he uses that knowledge to ensure his future. Now, it is absolutely clear this man did not meet the Lord's standards of ethics and morality in any way. But he did exploit the tenets of this generation. As we might say, although getting a little dated now, hate the game, not the player. And Jesus' parable is actually urging his disciples to act according to the reality that exists for them. They are sons of light. They are sons of light who currently live in this age, but also belong to an eternal generation. This is a reality that Jesus discloses in his teaching. It's not a new revelation that this exists. It's not a new revelation about reality. No, no. Even Moses and the prophets, they also declared such truth. It's a truth that the Lord's word makes known. Whether that is the Lord's word in what we now call the Old Testament, you know, the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, in the Lord's word that Jesus reveals, and then even in the Lord's word that the apostles proclaim that we read in the epistles. The sons of light are meant to have that knowledge. And when they do, that understanding which has been given to them is supposed to drive their actions. And so Jesus teaches his disciples, he teaches the sons of light, how they are to act now to secure their places in the eternal generation. And this includes the understanding that the Lord has put his creation under their management. That all possessions and all wealth truly belong to God, who holds ownership over all things. But that possession, that wealth, has been entrusted to individuals. He has entrusted them so that we can say we are all managers of the master's things. A master with a capital M. You know, master. So how is our management going? Do we waste the master's possessions? Do we live as if those possessions fully belong to us instead of belonging to God? Have we become enslaved to the wealth and property instead of seeing them as tools and instruments that God actually gave us to manipulate, not to be manipulated by? Has mammon become our master instead of God? Well, those questions are prompted by Jesus' parable and his subsequent statements about it. Recall what he commands after talking about the sons of this world being shrewder than the sons of light. What does he then say? I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Then he couples that statement with all sorts of declarations about management integrity. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you haven't been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is their own? Your own. And then he puts on the capper about lordship and service. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, he says. And in those statements, Jesus is revealing truths about discipleship. Truths that indicate that what his followers do here and now have ramifications for the age to come. truths that his disciples are to live in the understanding that they do indeed belong to an eternal generation, which means that everything belonging to this age will pass away. Truths that the possessions and wealth of this world are not good masters, and we should not be enslaved or servile to them. All of these statements of Jesus are revealing a reality that we should grasp. And they should motivate how we think and how we speak and how we act. There is a way for us to be shrewd and prudent and wise with how we live now, which will be beneficial to us and even to others in the world to come. You see, Jesus is teaching us how we can secure the future. That security does not come from being dishonest or wasteful. It does require receiving the benefits that Jesus' works of salvation accomplish. It is actually through his works that our debts with God are completely erased. We do not work to earn our salvation. Rather, we are freely given the benefits of Christ's atonement that he offered through his sacrificial death. This is how we have been made right with God. But even more than that, we have also been designated to inherit the outcome achieved by his resurrection, being part of that eternal generation. This is all part of being made sons of light. Not a status that we achieve for ourselves, but a status granted to us. But there is another aspect to discipleship beyond everything that awaits in the future eternity. Our status that we have been granted as sons of light, as belonging to that eternal generation, that status should also be reflected in what we do in this age that is not eternal. Such behavior should be pleasing to the Lord, who makes us managers of his creation and what exists within it. And the scriptures reveal what he delights in. They also speak of how he evaluates people and how he interacts with them. We can think on those statements of David that we heard in today's Old Testament reading, where David says about the Lord, "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." So David speaks about the Lord dealing mercifully and blamelessly and purely with people. But what type of people? With merciful people, blameless people, purified people. But what about the dishonest and the wicked? How does the Lord act towards them? David says, he's torturous to them. He pulls them down, brings them down. So do these statements indicate how the Lord may interact with us? Well, indeed, they do. We are directed by Jesus towards ways, meaning ways of thinking and speaking and acting, that are merciful and blameless and purified. And that even includes how we use the things of this world the things that will pass away. Remember his directive to his disciples, including us. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Remember also the warning that Jesus gives about idolatry and lordship when it comes to earthly things. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. These are revelations of wisdom that Jesus gives. And they are meant to steer how we think and speak and act in this age. And how we do so will have effects in the world to come. We are the sons of light who belong to an eternal generation. And it would be shrewd and prudent and wise for us to act accordingly. We should be better at the way of discipleship, our discipleship, our following Christ, than the sons of this world are in dealing with their own generation. And if we listen to Jesus' teaching and we heed his instructions, then that is the outcome we should anticipate. But if we don't, then we actually show ourselves to be foolish. And such folly will not only be detrimental in the present day, it will be eternally harmful. For we will have to give an account of our lives at the end. And having the master assess us that we are wasteful of his possessions and then dismissing us from his employ, that's an outcome we want to avoid both this time, but especially at the end of all things. Instead, we should have the desire to be faithful in the unrighteous wealth so that the master will entrust to us the true riches. That's going to be the outcome if we hear and heed the wisdom that Jesus reveals to us, both about the eternal generation that we belong to, but also about how we should use the property and riches of this age. So what is that wisdom? Well, briefly, we can say it like this. Be recipients of the salvation that he freely bestows. Number one. Receive the salvation he freely bestows by the work that he has done for you. Always, number one. But then, there is this. Recognize that you have been made managers of what actually belongs to the Lord and not to you. At least not fully to you. And make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And that includes using the possessions of the current age to support activities that convey Christ's gospel to others in the present day, so that they can also freely receive it, freely getting what we've already gotten. Then show yourselves to be devoted and righteous, even in small matters. Remember how Jesus said, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. That's a key teaching there, isn't it? God's giving us experiments with the little things and giving us an opportunity to demonstrate our faithfulness in the little things before he gives us the bigger things that are eternal. And then know the truth about lordship and service. Jesus is correct when he says, you cannot serve God and money. They have competing interests. They don't fully align. They are two different masters. So do not become enslaved to what competes against God, but will only last until God brings this world to a close. And besides which, when your earthly life ends, you don't get to control the money either. Jesus provides this wisdom to us. And he wants us to act accordingly until our time of management comes to an end. If that wisdom he gives directs our lives, then we will not be dismissed as managers because we've been wasteful and dishonest. Instead, we will be welcomed into God's eternal house when our time in this age comes to a close. For by acting wisely, which means heeding the wisdom that Jesus reveals, we will show ourselves to be the sons of light, that status that Christ has given to us, who belong to an eternal generation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church.
I acknowledge one
baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In our prayers, we especially remember Richard Prezner, whose days on earth draw to a close. We ask that God keep him strong in the faith and receive the eternal reward that he has won for him. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, you show mercy to us poor sinners. Lead us to acknowledge your mercy with gratitude, that in turn we may be quick to show mercy to others. Give us a right understanding of our own weakness and frailty. Preserve us from pride and lead us instead to cling to Christ and his forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Almighty God, you entrust to your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacraments. Bless pastors that they may be faithful stewards of these mysteries, and grant that your people would make proper use of your means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you bestow your riches on all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach their children your ways, that all in the household may confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O God, you save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. Give true wisdom to the people of our nation and humility to those who act and decide for our governance, and let the lamp of your perfect word and way enlighten their faith and deeds. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful Lord, preserve those who are suffering temptation and any affliction, especially Jim, Wendy, Michael, Lucia, Lucille, Nancy, Jocelyn, Russ, Richard, David, Pendo, Michelle, Adam, Laura, Edwin, Renee, Juanita, Jason, Helen, Richard, Sherry, Dave, Reynolds, Mary Ann, Michael, Angelina, John, Lynn, and Jesse. Make clear to them the way of escape that they may be able to endure it and stand firm through faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, give true repentance and faith to those who commune this day, that they may eat Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. Give us patience in tribulation, O Lord, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Comfort the weeping with your loving kindness, console the grieving with the hope of the resurrection, and help us to live in harmony with one another. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us bountifully and given us daily bread. We implore you, preserve us from all covetousness and enliven our hearts to share your gifts willingly with our brothers in need, that we may be found faithful stewards of your gifts and abide in your grace when we are removed from our stewardship and come before your judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks.
And it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ given for you. 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 Thank you.
body of Christ has been for you. The body of Christ has been for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Christ given for you.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Seated.
Regarding parish scheduling for this week, we will be having our voters assembly, that is a voters assembly for this quarter, that will be in the social hall, be about 12:15 start, depending. It looks like we can make the 12:15 start as mentioned. That's a regular business meeting for the quarter. We will be hosting continuing education courses. Some of you are familiar with our congregation for a while. We have often been a host congregation where a professor from one of our seminaries comes in and holds a several day course for pastors that come from our kind of our region, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, and we meet here. As part of that course, we do hold morning prayer at 9 a.m. Now, it's a public worship service. It's short. If you would like to come, you can. If you don't, well, if it doesn't fit your schedule, it doesn't fit your schedule. That's just the way it is. But that will be going on. I will be attending the course as much as possible. We will have the church office open, cell phone still working and everything during those days. So if you need to get a hold of me, you can. But there will be some activities during the evening that I have to do as host. So some of those evenings will not be available. All right. I think those are the main kind of schedule things. We are kind of in that August, a little bit of a lull, but not as idle as it always seems to be. So we're going to be on the up ramp towards fall, and we look forward to God blessing the remainder of our summer. God go with you then as you serve him and serve your neighbors this week.